This next exercise I want you to do is best explained, at least on tape, in the studio. It is named Make the Call. And it's an exercise that I do all the time in our Prescription for Passion workshop, but I would use sporadically in our sales workshops. One of my mentors taught me this very early in my career. As far as our leadership roles are concerned, he told me, never take yourself too seriously or your work too lightly. And I have to admit, I may have been guilty of the latter in this case, because I would only sporadically use the make the call exercise in sales workshops across the country. I guess I just wasn't convinced of my ability to translate its value to salespeople, particularly car salespeople. Well, we all have the right to be wrong, myself included. And I was obviously wrong about this exercise and never so clearly pointed out how wrong I was until November of 1997 in the city of Phoenix, when we were doing one of the automobile workshop, as a matter of fact. I guess I better explain the exercise first, and then I'll tell you what happened to me. I asked the attendees to imagine you're in a 747 and you're on your way to Europe. About halfway across the Atlantic, you start to feel this shudder. It's a little tiny vibration, but it gets worse and worse, and all of a sudden, boom, you hear this bang, and everyone's concerned, yourself included. The pilot gets on the intercom and announces that you lost the number two engine, but not to worry, they shut it down, and they can get to Europe with the remaining engines. Please relax. And so everyone starts to calm down slowly. And after about 5 minutes or so, everyone's back to normal and the flight continues on. However, now the pilot gets back on the intercom and says, folks, we do have another slight problem. Evidently, when the engine exploded, it cut the fuel line. And we are leaking fuel. We do not have enough fuel to get to Europe. Nor do we have enough fuel to get back home. Our best chance for survival is to continue on burning all the fuel out so that when we ditch the plane, which is inevitable, there won't be any explosion. As we get closer to the point of ditching the plane, we will give you further instructions on how to survive. Please remain in your seats, try to stay calm, and we'll give you further instructions as we get closer to the time where we have to ditch. While everyone does remain in their seats, calm is not exactly what's happening. There isn't people screaming, but everyone is very agitated. Then somebody gets the idea and he grabs a telephone and starts to make a call. Now panic ensues and there's a mad rush for the phones. The pilot has to come out of the cockpit, command everyone back in their seats, and he says, I'll come back with a plan so that everyone can make a phone call. A few minutes later, he comes back and says, all right, we've made the calculations. With the fuel remaining, everyone will have a chance to make one phone call. It is going to be of 2 minute duration, and that's it. One phone call, 2 minutes. Then I asked the attendees to commit to paper the person that they would call. You only have one phone call. It may be the last chance you get to talk to anyone, let alone that person. I want you to commit to paper, who would you call? And then I make everybody do that. After they're done with that, I have them pick up their pens again and say, okay, now I want you to commit to paper exactly what would you tell that person. Put it in writing. And then I stop the workshop and I allow everyone the opportunity to actually write down their last conversation with that person. Once everyone's completed that, I ask them, what are you waiting for? Do you really have to be on a 747 that's in trouble in the middle of Atlantic to make this phone call? Here's your homework assignment. Tonight, I want you all to make the call. Make the call. Now, sometimes this exercise would get a very emotional response, people tearing up and writing furiously, and sometimes there'd be no response at all. So I just wasn't convinced enough to use this exercise consistently in any sales workshops. Well, this November 97 workshop in Phoenix, there was one attendee named Mike who had actually been to the one-day event twice before, so this was the third time he was attending. And in the morning, he said, Michael, there's something really important I got to tell you, but we got to do it in private. I said, okay, well, we never had a chance during any of the breaks or lunch to actually discuss what he wanted to. And at the end of the day, while everyone was filling out their evaluations, he walked up to the front of the room where we could be alone and proceeded to tell me something that actually changed my career. He said, you know, you didn't do the make the call exercise today. And I started to explain to him what I just explained to you guys. You know, how I wasn't really convinced it was effective with salespeople and all these wise trainer reasons for not using it. And when I was done, he just looked at me and goes, uh-huh. Well, I got to tell you something. And he proceeded to tell me this. He said, first, I got to tell you, Michael, that I've got an absolutely wonderful marriage. And last year when you made me do this exercise, I was kind of chuckling to myself, but I said, no, you know, I trust you. I'll go ahead and do it. And so after the workshop was over, you know, how you told people that if this is the person you live with, you actually pull off the road, get to a public phone or use your car phone and make the call. Well, that's what I did. I called my wife and told her how important she was to me on the phone. And she was kind of laughing, and I was too, but you know, I got it all out. And then when I got home, we had an absolutely marvelous evening. We spent about 3 hours sharing with each other how important we were to each other and how important a part of my life she was. It was a great evening. Now, at this time, he's telling me the story. Two female salespeople who work with him at the dealership came up and joined our group. And they were listening to the latter part of this story, too. And as he's telling me this, I notice and he's starting to tear up. I'm thinking, what's going on? He continued, 3 weeks to the day of us having that conversation, my wife and I were in a horrendous car accident. I was laid up in the hospital for weeks. To this day, my wife is still in a coma. Now, at this point, not only is he crying, but I'm crying, and the two ladies who had joined us to cry, were all four of us crying together. And I hug him, and we kind of like have a group hug there. And as he steps back from me, he says, Michael, I want you to understand that I'm not crying because I may never have the chance to talk to my wife again. I have no more tears for that. I'm crying right now because I am genuinely grateful that I had the opportunity to tell her how important she is to me and my life. And you gave me that opportunity. Now, the idea of who actually creates these opportunities and who is merely the tool for the creation of these opportunities is a whole different subject for debate. But I felt incredibly stupid and inadequate at that moment. I stood there and explained to Mike what I thought were valid reasons for not doing the make the call exercise that day. I vowed to myself at that moment never to make that mistake again. So I'm going to ask you right now, who would you call? If you were on that 747 and you had one call, the last phone call, and you can only make it to one person, who would you call? Write it down now. And once you've done that, I want you to commit to paper exactly what it is you'd tell them. What would you say? And this is the last conversation you may ever have with this person. Are you sure I love you is enough? And then this evening, today, I want you to make the call. Make the call.